Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Manu. Thank you so much, Manu, for also for yesterday. I really appreciated the different kirtaniyas. They were very devotional and very, very, very nice atmosphere. There were people from Vrindavan or the Brijbasis who lived there. And those of, and many came to me and just said, wow, this is an excellent kirtan. And two, one came, he runs a goshala with 20,000 cows, 20,000 cows. And he said, I hope you will understand and like what he said. He said, you please now come to the goshala and sing in the goshala and get the blessings of the 20,000 cows. Now, when you would say this in the West, you have to. It would mean you're not singing very well. You so you that you that something useful comes out of you. Go to the, but this is an honorable position. The Gomata, all the 33,000 demigods live in Gomata's body. So he was meaning this in his. With the best intent, you all come and get the blessings of Gomata. This was one response. Then I said, well, we are already here up till 8:30 or so, but please come. They said, and then they begged us for next year. They said, first they said, come tomorrow, and we said, it's like a university. Every day is planned with sessions. But I really remember we got the blessings of the Brijbasis. That is for sure. Oh, thank you, Gaurahari. This is better for some reason. Good. I believe you. So today, my dear devotees, in this workshop, I want to bring you to the, let me say it very concretely and honestly, I would really like to share something with you which is forming, so to say, the essence of what I personally, as someone who tries to chant, want to offer you at this stage of the retreat. I feel a little bit of coming now to my own heart and sharing what is in there in terms of practice with all of you. Oh, good, everything. You please connect that. I have a whole, you would see, it's a whole, like, a whole program here which goes on. So let us please say the mantras, the obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paskatyare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara
Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
My dear devotees, this is a Harinam retreat where we try to improve our process of hearing and chanting the holy name, both in japa as well as in kirtan. This is only the external description of what is going on in the retreat. Only externally it is true that we try to learn new techniques, new perspectives, and maybe new approaches to the holy name. What is really at the core, at the essence of such a retreat is our own relationship with Krishna. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that there are only two spiritual entities in this world. One is you, the jiva, and the second is Krishna in the form of his holy name. And to make the two join together in a wonderful and devotional relationship is the idea of the retreat. We want to create in this retreat really a relationship which will empower you throughout the whole year. Imagine I have only one kartal. Then I could not make nice rhythmical sounds. But the moment there are the two kartals, I can accompany the kirtan and dance joyfully to the rhythm of the kartals. It's the relationship between the two which makes the music. In the same way, it will be the relationship between the jiva and the holy name which will make your spiritual life come alive. If there's only you, your spiritual life will not really prosper and blossom. But if there is you in a good relationship with the holy name, then the holy name, or then your spiritual life is just like one wonderful melodious kirtan. You must bring the two together. Alone, nothing works. So, during this retreat, we chant a lot in the holy places, like Vashana. We will go to Terkadamba tomorrow, where Rupa Goswami said. And we are really practicing only one thing, that is our relationship with Krishna in his most merciful form, the holy name. Yesterday, in the Buddha Shuddhi lecture, and we will do more and go deeper in Buddha Shuddhi today, we learned that only spirit can worship spirit. Only fire, in Prabhupada's words, a beautiful analogy, only the spark of the fire can enter into the fire. So only if you become free from the wrong conceptions of ahammameti, you will be able to enter the good chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Yesterday we did this theoretically, and today we will do it practically. I would like to first of all draw your attention to Burijan Prabhu's excellent second part. Did you notice how the final instructions in the, please correct me, Burijan Prabhu, was it the fifth chapter or the sixth chapter? Oh yeah, what was it about? Where Shukadev Goswami told Parikshit Maharaj, now release yourself from the concept that you are the body. Fifth chapter we hear. That was Buddha Shuddhi. That was what we are talking about yesterday in our workshop. Parikshit Maharaj was encouraged to raise his consciousness onto the spiritual platform. We heard very nicely that actually he was already there. But Shukadev Goswami ended more or less his instructions in the Bhagavatam with this instruction, then got up and wandered according to his own free will. This is essential for spiritual practice. Shukadev Goswami knew when he gave these Buddha Shuddhi instructions that Parikshit Maharaj had heard now so much, but he needed to now absorb his mind in Krishna and practice, because death was only moments away for him. And he said, for your practice, I'm giving you this instruction. Free yourself. I've actually taken notes on this because it was just so good. Give up your concept that you are going to die. The soul only assumes material body. It does not have, or it's not identical with the material body. Consider carefully the difference between the soul and the body. No? And think of yourself being spiritual and being a part of Krishna. These are his instructions, Buddha Shuddhi instructions. Very important for spiritual practice. You can be theoretical in your chanting of Hare Krishna. You can theoretize, or whatever is the English word, with a lot of this point of the philosophy, that point of the philosophy, and so on and so forth. But when you sit down for your practice, you need to purify yourself from wrong concepts and come on the spiritual platform and chant from there. And so only two spiritual things are there which you need for your practice. The jiva, that is yourself as a soul, and the holy name. Join these together, bring them together, and the music of your spiritual life will start in all earnestness. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes it very simple and very practical. He says one should chant based on three important meditations. And I thought we would do this, but I will only do it briefly because it was included in yesterday's workshop. Do you have your bead bags with you? Please take your bead bag up now. We will just do a very small 5-minute practice of this. And then we, because we want to go deep today, and today I want to give you a Vrindavan experience in your consciousness. So let's just go systematically, step by step. If someone has not his beatback here, it's not a problem. You don't need to run out. You can just chant also without the beatback. Yes? So let's recapitulate what we learned yesterday. Kindly sit properly. Do you need energy? Hare Krishna. Always when I ask the devotees after they went through one of my energy workshops, they go like, no, it's all right. Maharaj, it's all right. Okay, I believe you today. Let us chant in one voice, basing our chanting on the first of the three meditations. I will stop the chanting after some time with this sound. When you hear it, please for a moment hold your chanting, and then I give you the second orientation, the second inner orientation, and then again after some time you will hear the sound, which means to halt, and then you get the third. This will take us about 5 minutes, so because we are brief, you need to be quite fast in your practice. You need to be really laser-like concentration. Here comes the first meditation. I am an atomic particle of consciousness, a tiny soul, and an eternal part of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Continue, please. Do not stop. The first Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Please continue. The first Hare. I am a tiny soul and an eternal part of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama.
Rama, 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 Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama,
Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. The second meditation. Krishna is an unlimited conscious entity, and Krishna is my only master. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Please continue. Please think of yourself as an eternal soul who addresses Krishna, his or her only master. Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. And the third meditation. This material world is like a prison house that is meant to reform my absent-minded tendencies. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For some of us, this concept of bringing a relationship to Krishna into our chanting may be a new concept, and therefore they need to familiarize themselves a little bit more with it. We have discovered a verse which expresses this mood of entering into a relationship as you chant in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Those of you who are note takers, please note it down. It is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 33. Krishna tomar hana jadi bale kapara maya banda hoite Krishna tare kare para. It says one is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya, if he seriously and sincerely says, "My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service." You know, this verse, in a very devotional way, explains to us what Buddha Shuddhi is all about. It is about separating ourselves from our wrong self, our world of misconceptions, and just coming to the place, as you chant, to just, "Krishna, I've forgotten you, but I'm now turning to you as your sincere and serious servant. Please accept me." If you have this simple, let me say, orientation, whatever words you use is not important. But if you have this sincere orientation, then you turn to that. There's a very, very, very nice book out, which is a Spurta classic. It describes a simple Russian farmer, who is not satisfied in his life. His wife has died, and his property has been put ablaze, you know, has been burned by his envious brother. And he's now free from, he's devoid of the one relationship which meant so much for him. He cries for many weeks because of the death of his very good wife. And he's very disturbed that his brother could do such a thing and burn his house because he's envious that the father gave the house to him and not this drunkard brother. So he goes into a church and he hears from the pulpit, you know what is pulpit, where the priest stands and talks, that one should ceaselessly glorify the Lord without any stoppage. And in this way, one is always together with the Lord. And he thinks, wow, this is the solution. It sounds like the Bhagavatam, fix your mind in Krishna always. So he's enthusiastic for this, but then develops a grave doubt. He thinks, I have to eat and I have to sleep. How can I chant the names of the Lord without any interruption? This is a natural question. And then he looks for answers to this question. In the scripture it says, without stoppage I shall glorify the Lord. But how is it practically possible? And he goes on a long journey, spiritual journey, where he meets different people who are in some ways, you could say, situated in this practice, and he learns how to do it until he feels the constant presence of the Lord in his life. The reason why I mention this is because I want to give you an inspiration from another tradition. Often we can see what is good in our own tradition, but because we suffer from an overdosis of theoretical knowledge, we don't apply it. But when we see that it is done in other traditions as well, we go like, wow, if others also do it and can do it, why don't I become an ecstatic chanter of the holy name? I can also do it. I'm not dead yet. We can see, think like this. Huh? And I really find out, find in my spiritual life, if devotees can just understand that they need to be constantly together with Krishna, that this is Krishna consciousness, to associate with the Lord, and that this is possible by singing his holy name, then they will go to the next step where they don't chant mechanically any longer with more or less mediocre results, but where they really dive into the practice as it is given by our glorious tradition and exemplified by the great devotees of the Lord. So today, I would like to give you an experience of this, chanting in the relationship with the Lord, and I somehow need you with this. Now, I have studied you up till now very carefully, and some of you are very tired. And therefore, I insist on an energizing exercise. But it will be a soft one, so that you will not sweat the whole workshop that I needed to do to you yesterday, because yesterday you were even more tired. No, yesterday, the day before yesterday. Today it will be sweat-free. Your cloth will be elegant as always, but you will have the opportunity to energize yourself. Now, I know some of you say, this Maharaj is crazy. Prabhupada didn't do exercises. Krishna. By the way, those who criticize like this are not entirely right. Prabhupada did a morning walk each morning, which is a soft exercise. No, the second point is, this is not a lecture. I won't dare to do it in the Krishna Balaram temple, only if I would see everyone just falling over each other from sleep deprivation. This is a workshop. We do some work. We want to get somewhere. And I can't work with a group of tired devotees. You're tired for good reasons. I don't want to criticize you. You stayed long yesterday, and you chanted so nicely that the whole of Vashana talks about you at the moment. But we are now talking just you. We will meditate, and we need your exercise. So sit straight. Who of you is a heart patient? Raise your hand. Oh, you go already like, oh. Take your hands like this. And on an inhale, raise them and spread your fingers. Yes, Gopinath, you should look like the sun, each hand. Then on an exhale, bring the hand back and bring it in the fist position. Inhale, spread the fingers. Exhale, fist. Deep breathing. Bring some traction, means some stretching to you. Sit straight. I'm sorry. We should be joyful in whatever we do. Now smile, and you will see, you will pump that smile into your lungs and heart. I think you know where I'm going, huh? Smile, don't forget to smile. This is not serious. This is just because we are so tired all the time. Deep breathing. Not just fast, deep. I can't go higher, so soon we will stop.
really deep. Bring your left, if you're a man, bring your left hand on your belly under your belly button. If you're a woman, the other way around. The right hand over the left hand. And just observe for a moment what happened. Oh God, I can see most of you have come a little alive. Some of you still are tired, but what to do? So, please now listen very attentively to the introduction of this practical workshop. In this world, there are unfortunately many things which can divert us from Krishna, including such an exercise. These things which divert us from our relationship from Krishna could be other people with whom we have unwholesome relationships and talk about mundane things or prajalpa. We can be diverted by our jobs, by our societies. We can also be diverted by our dreams, our ideals, our goals in our life, which we think we still have to achieve. As His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj puts it, we live in an age with mass distraction weapons. Not mass destruction, mass distraction weapons. But all these relationships and things are like smoke, which one day will drift off and vanish into thin air, like the smoke which comes from a stick of incense. It's there for some time, gone at other times. So when we start our spiritual practice, it's very important to bring our attention away from the smoke-like or temporary distracting things of this world. When you heard this, let us stop for a while and please think about what you have heard, that there are many distractions in your life. Maybe you want to identify some of the distractions which are there in your life. Keshava, look at the day in Melbourne and try to identify the distractions. Or Krishna Priya in Delhi, where are distractions in your life? Maybe it's the new Maruti car. I don't want to be so private. Actually, Krishna Priya is very Krishna conscious devotee. But I just mean every one of us. Think about some of the distraction. Thank you. There will be a time when all these distractions are no longer there in your life. It will be the time which we heard about this morning. The time when you lay down to a rest from which you will never rise again. At that time, only the one relationship, the one singular relationship to Krishna will be of importance. And if in your sadhana, in your spiritual practice, you have not learned to form this relationship and make it very thick, then you will not pass this ultimate or final test, which is the moment of your own death, your physical death. At that time, my dear devotees, let us be crystal clear. All the relationships to people and objects or projects or programs will fall away from you. Only this one relationship to Krishna. And it is said that a dying man or a dying woman hath often this regret. I have not taken care about my opportunities to form this relationship and to make it very serious. It is there from Krishna's side, but I am truant or absent. I have remained absent. I have even chanted rounds. Oh no, but I was so absent-minded. I went to the japa workshop. It was a little better when I sat in the kirtan of Janavi and Manu at the Krishna Kund. But afterwards, I retorted back to my old absent-minded habits. I would like to lead you in an exercise whereby we will learn a simple technique by which all these distractions will leave us. A technique which devotees have done over the years. I will ask you to go with me now at the bank of the Yamuna. I purposefully do not show you slides of Vashana or ask you to concentrate on where you are, because this is something we want you to take along with you to the west or the south or the north or the east or wherever you live. So, spiritual practices, as we know, are best performed in a holy environment, a dham. Let us look at the Yamuna. It's described that the river Yamuna is full with lotus flowers. On the banks are many lotus-like devotees who do kirtan and to chant. You will be happy to hear that there's a lot of waterfowl. The waters of the Yamuna can wash all sins away from anyone who either takes his bath or sits there and meditates. Since time immemorial, the great devotees have sat on her banks, or as here, have taken a boat to be close to Yamuna and experience her soothing influence. Yamuna gives shelter to the spiritual sincere, but also to the children who play there. Children will go, and the spiritual sincere will stay. It is said that in the evening, when the sun sets, the birds fly from Vrindavan town to the other bank of the Yamuna because they don't want to disturb Radha and Krishna, who will perform their pastimes at the banks of the Yamuna under the Vansivata tree. A The Yamuna also helps devotees to cross over to the other side of birth and death. It is here where the ashes of many devotees were immersed. Those who are from Europe know that here the ashes of Saranandi were placed in the waters of the Yamuna. Tirtha, a holy place, means a place to cross over the material world and go to the spiritual world. In this way, in a Tirtha, you accept the lotus feet of the Lord and the suitable boat to cross over the ocean of birth and death. Yamuna Devi is worshipped as well. In present day Vrindavan, she is worshipped every evening. In the scriptures, Yamuna Devi is often called upon for those who do spiritual practice. They do it mentally by sitting down on the banks of the Yamuna. This is what we will do now here. I request you to sit down straight. And observe your breathing. With observing your breathing, I don't mean that you should influence it, like we sometimes do, but you should just mentally observe when you breathe in and when you breathe out. I will just make a comment on the side. Don't worry when you have to cough. That is natural. When you relax the body, then this happens. But don't worry. It is natural and good. When you're ready, please close your eyes. Continue to watch your breathing. Watching your breathing means to become aware when you inhale that you inhale. And watching your breathing means to become aware when you exhale that you exhale. Let everything around you slowly and gently disappear. You are now just here. Please go now in your mind's eye to the bank of the river Yamuna. You have seen some slides maybe some places or one place was especially attractive for you, but maybe you know a better place which attracts you even more. Sit down on the banks of the Yamuna. We will now practice Buddha Shuddhi in a very simple and effective way. Let everything which is around you, and which you call my relationships, my house, my town, let it slip away. Your relationships with your relatives. For a moment, let it slip away. Other relationships, friends, let them go as well. Job, important responsibilities, future projects, desires, all gone. You are alone. Nothing in your environment. I request you now to take a bath in your mind's eye in the purifying waters of Yamuna. You have seen some pictures of Yamuna projected on the screen, but maybe there are better pictures which attract you even more. Take a purifying bath. Everything is safe. You are for yourself. And listen while you take your bath to this wonderful prayer spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he took his bath. O River Yamuna, you are the blissful spiritual water that gives love to the son of Maharaj Nanda. You are the same as the water from the spiritual world, for you can vanquish all our offenses and sinful reactions in life. You, O Yamunaji, are the creator of great auspiciousness for the whole world. O daughter of the sun god, kindly purify us by your spiritual potency. You come out of Yamunaji, become aware now that in your truest being, you are really an eternal spiritual soul, an eternal servant in love with Radha and Krishna. It is only due to some misfortune that you have been absent from that relationship. and instead have been wandering in the cycle of birth and death, helplessly identifying with one material body after another. But your fortune has turned. You have finally met an exalted soul, a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, and learned about your real identity as a pure spirit soul, a resident of the kingdom of love, completely separate from the gross and subtle body. You have been inspired to take up the path of eternal loving service to their lordships Radha and Krishna. Now, in your mind's eye, visualize Radha and Krishna on the opposite bank. They sit under a desire tree on an effulgent throne. In the shining land of Sri Vrindavan, in a temple composed of jewels, Sri Sri Radha Govinda are seated on an effulgent throne beneath a Kalpa Briksha tree, accepting service from their beloved servants. The scriptures say, I meditate upon them. We can offer a prayer now from the scriptures. I surrender to you, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, whatever is mine is in truth your property. Everything is for your sake only. Everything is for your enjoyment. Nothing is meant for my enjoyment. We will now serve the divine couple with kirtan. Those of you who feel inclined to other services, you can offer in your mind a puja to them, a personal prayer. The idea is to somehow or other enter the awareness of a relationship while you do this kirtan.